Good evening, everyone. Good evening. And we've brought one of our favorite paradigm shifters on tonight. I shouldn't say one because they're a collective called Galexis. Galexis, through Ginger Mitreau, is going to talk with us tonight about, well, let's look at it as the whole global presentation of weather changes, of Fukushima, of GMOs, of the kinds of things you and I want to rise above and maybe get some information about what it all means. Welcome to the show, Ginger. We're really excited to speak with you and Galexis tonight.
You're certainly welcome. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
There's a lot
to be an interesting topic tonight, too, I know.
Yes, a lot going on the planet. And what we're talking about is the development of the new Earth, right?
Well, yeah, a new world is here.
Yeah. Well, it's not totally here yet. It seems like we're having a few birth pangs, wouldn't you say? So we thought maybe Galexis would give us some perspective. And so many people are asking lately, like, what do we do to offset some of this incredibly, trying, squishing, challenging stuff that's going on?
Well, I think that's just a really good, juicy question for Galexis. So I think I'm just going to head on out and go into trance, and Galexis can be with you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for being here, Ginger.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet for just a few seconds, and
okay.
I'll be right. Galexis will be with you. All right, we are here.
How wonderful to have you back on the show, Galexis.
Oh, this is a pleasure for us. We always enjoy speaking with you. You always have such intriguing points of view and questions and so forth. It makes it a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, we're talking about a new world. Are you willing to talk about that and the seeming stumbling blocks, or maybe their building blocks, called Fukushima, called GMOs, called weather interruptions or weather changes? Can you tell everybody about what the new Earth is really all about and what these all mean?
All right. Well, first of all, the new world is a new paradigm of consciousness. Mm. It is a consciousness that's much more aligned into fourth and fifth dimensionality, which means that on an individual level in the new world, you're going to be assuming much more empowerment, more responsibility for your reality, for creating it, for crafting it, for ooching it, for adjusting it, for attuning it, and so on, according to yourself, according to your own choice, to your own will, your own light. Now, we've spoken about this before, that you as individuals are moving into a new consciousness, and this is part of your destiny, this is part of your spiritual path, part of returning home to divine union. And you chose to co-create this amazing world that you are were born onto, and you've explored, and you've played on. It's a phenomenal playground for you to learn how to step into your God-beingness, for you to be able to come into your higher conscious awareness. Now, part of what you're co-creating is a grand experiment of consciousness, shifting the world from a lower level of consciousness, you might say a 3D level of consciousness, to a 5D level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you as an individual operate on many dimensions simultaneously. You're just not conscious of them. But this new world is intended and co-created as a way for a whole bunch of you to, on a daily basis, be able to access and work with consciously more of your subconscious mind, more of your unconscious mind, collectively, individually, on a fifth dimensional level, which means fifth dimensional having to do with the imagination, having to do with redreaming, that you are dreaming a new reality into being. okay? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that seems to be a dilemma for most people, and despite the fact that you're on the first wave here, you're one of the first waivers, and you're really, you know, pushing on this the boundary, it's very difficult for you, as it is for everybody else, because of your training, because of the collective, the kind of sludgy, kind of, you know, slow, just kind of consistent grind of the consensus reality, is that in order to grow, in order to expand your conscious awareness, and to be able to expand your self-image so that you can gestalt your world, okay, you can see your world, you can imagine your world in larger and larger frameworks, that's what you're doing, is that you're expanding, you know. And so most people don't really do a lot of that consciously and deliberately. So as people, in order to get you to expand your consciousness, you still, in a sense, have to call in the kick-ass school of growth, right? You still have to call in crisis, danger, challenge, even tragedy, in order for you as a collective, as well as an individual, as a collective to be able to say, oh, my gosh, oh, I've really got to do something about it. I've got to, you know, expand my perspective. I've got to learn and I've got to grow. So we've got to kick ass you, and that way you grow. So most people think of growing and changing as a very difficult, painful kind of process. Well, because of the collective is so stuck on this idea, and because people are not proactive as so much in their growing and their expanding, which the growing is the expansion of yourself and the expansion of your conscious awareness and the expansion of your empowerment, expansion of your freedom of soul and self, that you require tragedies. You require difficult situations to get you to motivate yourself to make changes. And people generally kind of amble along and not are too conscious and wait for this type of thing to go, and like then they hit a wall with this issue, whatever the issue is, whether it's a personal issue or a global issue that affects you personally or whatever it is, that starts to shake you up. And Fukushima, for example, is one of those things that is trying to shake people awake and say, hey, you cannot go and do and create energy from a fission, which is a separation, which is a destructive separation. It's like think free radicals. Mm-hmm. You know, free radicals in your body are always in this kind of whole destructive dance. And you've got to put in really good nutrition to balance it out so that you can counteract the free radicals so that you don't disintegrate and destroy your body too soon. So you have to have these good counterbalances. On an earth level, Fukushima is like an extreme free radical impact. And you've got to do something about it. But you can't do something about it just individually. In a sense, it's got to activate the collective. It's got to activate people everywhere to realize you cannot just blast the atom apart willy-nilly and into all of this destruction if you don't have the counterbalance to it. And on your planet, you don't have the counterbalance to it. You don't have a clue what to do with nuclear waste.
No, we don't.
You don't have a clue how to neutralize radiation.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep creating, as human race, more and more and more of this. Well, Chernobyl wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
It paused people. It slowed down the increase of nuclear reactors. And maybe people were thinking, well, we've got to have better storage. We've got to have better quality, you know, plants and safer conditions and so on and so on. And so there's all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what transpired from Chernobyl. However, that wasn't enough because in the recent years around the world, it was like saying, well, this is the cleanest burning stuff. This is cleaner than coal. And the environmentalists are fighting against coal. We can say, well, look, we have much safer reactors. We can do it this way. And so there's been a tremendous increase in nuclear reactors being built over the past, you know, 15, 20 years or so forth. There was this big surge. And just recently, it has been considered, you know, here in the United States, to, this is before Fukushima, of course, oh, well, you know, the Bush administration was really gung-ho for nuclear plants, more nuclear plants. And then Obama administration started out being really cool. Okay, this is good. We're going to go for nuclear.
Yeah.
And then we had to get, you know, that was kind of a alarm signal to the planet, like, uh-oh, you know, we can't let them go and do that. Okay? Because still, you don't know how to neutralize radiation. You don't know how to neutralize nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the balance, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So Fukushima, with all their adjustments and so on, they forgot to take into account tsunamis. So the one Achilles heel, the one vulnerable spot that they had it all protected for earthquake just fine, but not for a tsunami. Okay?
But they also didn't take care of wear and tear, did they?
Yes, actually, they were not that bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
They were not that bad at it. Some of these nuclear reactors that were hit, and particularly the one at Fukushima, that was slated in the sense for more repair, ongoing kind of stuff. It was an aging reactor. And you have to understand, all around the planet, because nuclear growth has kind of abated, people are relying on the existing nuclear plants, there's a lot of nuclear plants that are getting really old,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of dangerous,
mm-hmm.
you see, because then they're not really capable of handling the stress, they could break down, all this kind of stuff, and repairing it is one difficult thing.
Well, is it being multidimensional or moving to the new Earth and that sort of thing, is that a way to neutralize the frequencies that are so reactive? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's coming. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there has to be some kind of impetus for it,
mm-hmm.
because science has been focused more on, well, let's make the reactors a little safer. Let's repair them a little bit. Or let's make brand new ones instead. And let's have better storage. They weren't really going to figure out how to neutralize radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now, let us hope this, mm-hmm. that now science will turn to, we've got to figure out how to neutralize radiation. Well, the first thing, as you know, all governments tend to do in a disaster is go into denial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Japan is just now beginning to come out of denial.
Hmm.
The U.S. is still in denial. Okay, so they're not. So they're covering all the reports of where radiation is hitting, how bad it is, what it's doing to crops, what it's doing to wildlife, how it's killing, you know, animals wholesale in the ocean. You know, they're.
And I read today that's all over the world. It's been kind of cloaked.
So it's been cloaked all over the world.
Yes.
This has been a kind of a scientific. What you might say, faith-based science rather than real authentic science, but it's been like, okay, this is the way we're going to go, and we don't want anybody to know about the downside of it because we're going to make so much money on this.
Mm.
You know, we've got, you always have to follow the dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes for, quote-unquote, cheap energy,
yeah.
which is, of course, a totally oxymoron, mm-hmm. because you know, yes, it may appear to be cheap on one hand, giving corporations, you know, a free rain as far as, you know, wasting a whole bunch of land and so on, and mining and all the mining operations and so on. But the point is that they still are not focused on what they need to focus on, how to neutralize this and how to move to fusion rather than fission.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Fusion, there is fusion that works, but the rules and the laws worldwide are all based on fission, and they don't know how to evaluate it. They don't know how to do it. It's too much change. They're going to wait for kick-ass.
Hmm. Right? It seems so kind of bizarre because
Fukushima.
It just seems kind of bizarre because if a lot of people die from radiation, there's nowhere to even put the bodies when you think about it, is there?
Actually not.
Yeah.
Actually
yeah.
not. Well, a lot of bodies totally disappeared during the tsunami, so they don't really even know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the boats and things like that were, and pieces of houses and so on are showing up in Hawaii now, you know, mm-hmm. and they're coming across the ocean. Eventually the whole upper hemisphere of the Earth is going to pretty much even out radiation-wise within a, you know, couple of years or so.
But that's kind of a mind-blower. It's really quite an exceptional concept, almost inconceivable in a way, isn't it?
Well, it would have been, except now that's what's happening, mm-hmm. right? Now, the object here is that this will push people into demanding the closure of nuclear plants, demanding the development of fusion, development of and reliance upon more alternative technologies such as solar, which is making some really good breakthroughs,
mm-hmm.
which is being resisted across the board by, you know, most governments. But to go to air and wind and go to sun, solar, and so on. So instead, let's push the, you know, the oil and gas pipeline. Let's mm-hmm. let's push for
it's
more oil
scary.
And gas.
Yeah, that's a scary thing too.
So it's going to take a while for this to sort out, but it has to seemingly require some kind of tragedy. Now, on an individual personal level, there's a lot that you can do to neutralize radiation and the vibration of fission.
All right, well, let's figure that out because we all need a little information here, right?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
First of all is to recognize that, as we say, it's kind of like a big free radical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, radiation is like intense free radicals. Just crank it up a huge amount. It creates the aging in the body at a very rapid rate.
Mm.
It creates confusion, distortion of the body's message service inside the body so that the cells and the organs are not coordinating very well. And that's the same thing as free radicals, except it's just cranked up way further.
Hmm.
So we would recommend, first of all, is that to get on a program of what are called antioxidants, which are the balancers to free radicals, to be able to take your... There are several remedies, like specifically there are certain types of algae that tend to neutralize, to a certain extent, to neutralize radiation impact.
Hmm.
And there is a product that is by a company called BioAge, which is super biofood, which is deliberately oriented towards handling radiation in the body.
Hmm. There's some sort of mushroom,
so like that.
Mushrooms too, I think. There's certain kinds of...
Yes, and mushrooms have been shown to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the immune system boosters. And the reasons that the certain immune system boosters are helpful is because they're able to counteract all these extra free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when there's too much free radical damage, then it opens up a venue opportunity in the body for bacteria, fungus, virus, yeast, etc.
Hmm.
Okay, so yes, you have to keep your immune system strong. How do you do that? Well, besides taking nutritional supplements and making sure that you're on a good diet and not eating too much sugar, because sugar just erodes the immune system like crazy.
Right.
Okay, and make sure that you can stay healthy. On a spiritual, emotional level, you have to, like, respond to this from the empowered spiritual being you are becoming. Now, we're talking about the you that you think is in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to bring the future to you now.
Okay.
And we would suggest doing that in a meditation where you go visit your future self, who is, like, fabulously healthy and energetic, and you can add all sorts of good things in there. Wealthy, beloved, successful, whatever you want to add. But go to a really optimal future. Okay?
Yes.
And let yourself feel how that future you has an extraordinary resonance, a great presence, a sense of knowing who he or she is.
Okay.
Okay? Because that future self loves life. That's an immune system booster. Second, the future self knows that he or she is divine. That future self has a sense of empowerment and responsibility about this reality. And if you can kind of grasp the greater gestalt that is, then the solutions can start to come into your world. All right? You have an influence on your world, even though you may not think so.
Hmm.
Okay? So when you expand you and step into your power, then you can recognize that Fukushima and all the crazy weather that's around, the extreme cold, the bitter cold that has been hitting Canada and the northeast U.S., the drought in California and on the West Coast, all these extremes, okay, are part of the imbalances. They're part of the earth trying to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, are you going to require kick-ass school? Are you going to mobilize and take responsibility for your world?
Hmm.
Now, how do you take responsibility for your world? If you realize, now conceptually you may, mm-hmm. you may have heard this many times, we are all one.
Right.
Okay? If you recognize and take that concept, expanding your self-image out to understand that you are a divine reality creator, a spark of the divine consciousness, and part of what you came here to do, okay, was to create a reality that was fun and positive and successful for you, that it also includes being responsible for every single thing that's going on the planet. Now, a lot of people are going to like, oh, man, overwhelm. I can't deal with that.
No.
I can't deal with what's going on in Japan or what's going on in Canada or what's going on wherever it is in the world. I can't deal with that. I'm not there. Right? And so what we want to suggest instead is to look at, well, what if you were to consider the whole planet and all that's going on in the planet as your psyche, your personal psyche,
okay,
what role would Fukushima be playing in your psyche? Right? Fukushima would be playing the role of, well, I really should make some changes, but I don't think I can. Oh, man, oh, this is really painful. I guess I have to.
Hmm.
We were talking about learning through pain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fukushima
mm-hmm.
is pain, suffering, destruction. What part of your psyche still has destruction going on in there? Where do you judge yourself? Where do you dislike yourself? Is there any self-loathing left from adolescence still worming its way around through your psyche?
Mm-hmm.
Do you tend to just kind of identify with a collective and go unconscious and think, well, maybe one day this will be resolved? Abnegating all your responsibility, right? It's a message that all that's happening, all the violence that's happening in the world is a reflection on some level of a violence or a conflict that's going on inside you.
Right.
Where are you in conflict inside? Where do you judge? Where do you hate? Where are you angry? Where would you really just like to go and, you know, who would you really just like to go and kick and blow them up? You know, it's all a reflection. It's just on a grand scale, but it does reflect pieces of your psyche. When your psyche comes into harmony, when you're aligned with your divine self, your divine plan, and you're in flow with your divine plan, then your responses to all of these things will be to dream and imagine that there will be solutions and take a responsible directive towards that dreaming. Not that you can dream the technology of it, because you may not be a scientist, you may not know, but you can dream it as part of your reality. You can dream that you're going to find solutions to your issues, personal issues. And you're going to do that through love. You're going to do that through loving yourself more. You're going to do that through acknowledging more of who you are and the divine that you, who you are. You're going to be able to acknowledge that and create that by not judging other people, having compassion for the rest of the world, even for perpetrators. Right? Having compassion for perpetrators. Because in all the dance of birth and death over eons of time, you have been a perpetrator, you have been a victim, who knows how many times.
That's right.
So understanding this is all reflecting aspects of you, perhaps old aspects of you that you haven't thought of for a while, or you thought you were done with. But if you notice yourself talk during the day, you can find where those remaining negative pieces are and work to heal those and to correct those and to love yourself, to really love and acknowledge and honor and respect and trust yourself more. This is what you can then present a sense of internal harmony and unity within yourself, and then you can dream, you can use a visualization, a meditation, and just imagine it on the evening news that, you know, it's announced that there's this breakthrough in alternative energy or there's this breakthrough in neutralizing radiation, because it will come.
Mm-hmm. I keep feeling it's going to come, but I don't know whether it's coming from ETs or what.
Well, actually, the ETs already know about it, but the ETs are not the ones who are going to tell the humans how to do it. Why? Because the humans have to get to the consciousness level to where they can handle certain levels of information. It's like,
well, that makes sense.
Humans, if they get something like that, most of the time now, still, all they will think of is how they can control, manipulate, and dominate and make lots of money. Okay?
I know, yes.
If they think that way, okay, and think and realize that's a reflection from of your psyche, okay? There's a part of you that values money way too much, that makes it way too significant for you, puts too much charge and significance on your ego facade and how other people see you. All these kinds of things are just interpersonal reflections of what's going on with the psychopaths that seem to be running the government and the big corporations worldwide.
So there's an extension of me. Well, while you're talking about monetizing all that sort of thing, let's throw in the GMO thing, because that sort of suits that
okay,
part
GMOs
of the equation.
Okay, GMOs is very similar in the sense that what happens with GMOs is essentially they create fission in a DNA lineup.
Okay.
Essentially, they throw in foreign DNA into a DNA, and it just kind of goes in there and creates havoc and chaos and destruction, and it might grow or it might not.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. That's wonderful, actually.
That's the way they do it,
right? Yeah.
And so what happens is that most of the plants that they were working on, most of them didn't grow.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Now, what's interesting is that this is reflecting from 60,000 years ago the genetic experiments of the Orionites.
Is that where they made the centaurs and all those different...
Yeah, where they created all these half-human, half-animals, and they just... And most of them were in agony and died.
Uh-huh.
But some of them lived.
Hmm.
Okay. And so they were playing with that. The Third Reich, Hitler was really into genetic experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And creating all sorts of weird stuff in the laboratory, right? So those who want to get into controlling genetics have not yet understood how to work with soul or to have integrity. They're doing it for money. They're doing it for power. So the intentionality is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so because of this darkness, the technology, the ETs are not going to give more technology. They've given some technology, and they've regretted it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the humans that got it have abused it.
Mm-hmm.
They have given it to some humans who were then persecuted for it. So it has not, so far, been a really positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in GMOs, it's the same kind of thing. They create tremendous fission, and what tends to finally grow is weak because it doesn't have its template of power.
Mm.
It's weak. It
doesn't have the life force, maybe?
The life force is weak,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why it ends up that they've made all these plants Roundup ready so that you can spray glyphosate all over the plants, and it will kill off, weeds, i.e., normal healthy plants. It'll kill off the normal healthy plants,
right.
And it's totally skewed and structured so that it creates a kind of buffer of protection for these GMO plants. But what that, of course, means is that now the amount of pesticides that are being used being sold by, the same companies, Boy, what a, cash cow that is, right?
Really, for sure.
To control the seeds, to control all the pesticides, by golly, they're in control, And so, of course, they're not going to be at all interested in finding ways to do it the old-fashioned way, which is to kind of breed plants naturally over generations and use their natural variations.
Well, Galexis, from your perspective, is it not so that in many places in the world there are many people trying to get back to the grassroots and really develop things naturally? Isn't that?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. See, again, this is kick-ass school of growth.
Yeah.
When you got GMOs and you've got too much suffering and you've got too much poison and people start to react and people start to get alarmed and so on, then people are going to finally start standing up and saying, I'm going to eat healthy food.
Mm-hmm. And it was funny here, they voted down putting GMO labeling on products, but it's really interesting because if you go into the store, they have labeled them anyway. People have insisted,
because the people who create the GMOs are in cahoots now with the American Grocers Association, and they put all sorts of money, had to put tremendous amount of money to create misleading ads to mess this whole GMO labeling law. But they know, and their spokespeople have even said, GMO labeling is death to us.
Hmm.
Because if people have an option to go for GMO or non-GMO, at this point, what are they going to go for?
Mm-hmm.
It's like putting a skull and crossbones on the food. And they know that.
Which in some cases, they should be doing that, yeah.
And they should be doing that because some of this food is extremely destructive because it doesn't have the original template. Mm-hmm. The body doesn't really have the enzymes and all the chemical structure necessary to digest it. So that's why the GMOs are messing up digestions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, for example, Americans who are farmers who are making sausage have to order, intestines, because sausages are wrapped in intestines, right?
Right.
They have to order the intestines from New Zealand.
Right, because ours are
because
so...
Because they don't do GMO feed there.
Yeah.
Because the intestines are intact there. But the intestines in the U.S. are all screwed up.
Yeah, I've heard that most of Europe won't buy any American foods that way either.
That's correct, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. The only place that a lot of people have a clue how to fight, how to stand up for themselves, is to, you know, hit it in the pocketbook. Right? When people, you know, and so that's what the GMO people and the Grocers Association is really promoting. Our food is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You can afford it. Those organic people, though, those are snobs, and you can't afford that food.
Right.
Right? And so, in a way, the poor people get brainwashed into eating GMOs, and the poor people are the ones who have the worst diets anyway.
Right.
Eat most of the junk food, and the poor people then end up with more mental illness and more physical health complaints, and then they go into the healthcare system the way, you know, all the big corporations want them to. So they've got the poor people are much more controllable.
Yeah, they're really enslaved by it all, aren't they?
Right, and look at the ads on TV for junk food.
Oh, yeah, and also they build cravings in people. You see it all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, gluten is addictive.
Yeah. Well, so on the other hand, if we look at mass consciousness, from your perspective, can you see that consciousness on the, like, the mean level of it, the average level, is at a higher level than it was all over the world?
Yes, already.
Or how are
already.
We doing?
Already, it's coming, it's moving, it's coming.
Okay.
For example, just look at something as simple as gay marriage.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
That now the majority of people in the U.S. approve of gay marriage.
Right.
The majority.
That's amazing, okay? Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get it into the media somehow, if you can get the education, if you get the information out there, people will grow.
Mm.
People will expand because gay marriage is an expansion. Okay? And that kind of thing is happening with GMOs. It's happening with organic foods. It's happening with, it's even gradually coming with grass-fed beef for those people who eat beef. And to look at how their eggs are grown. Are there free-range chickens or who have a good digestive tract? Or are they chickens that are all jammed together in a little barn and all they get is, you know, GMO corn? You see, people are starting to think about it more and more, and the education is happening more and more. And, of course, the government's going to fight back because the government is the agent for all the big corporations.
Right.
Right? So the government is going to harass everybody that doesn't, you know, fall into line and so on and make fun of them and the news and so on and so on. But if you will notice, just by bringing something up in the news, if they could keep it all, and they've been trying to, and they've been keeping a lot of information away from people, people cannot talk about, for example, the TED Talks that have been so wonderful.
Oh, they're wonderful, yeah.
But yes, but now they've said anybody who talks about food as medicine cannot do a TED Talk, and if they already have it, they've already done the TED Talk, it will be removed.
Oh, my goodness, isn't that amazing?
Woo! You cannot talk about
autism. I didn't know
autism
that. Oh, wow.
And diet. You cannot talk about vaccine and their impact.
On the TED Talks?
On the TED Talks, it's over now.
Oh, my. I didn't realize that. I was just going to say I met some women who've been working with homeopathy and autism with great success.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are coming, and people are looking for them because it's getting to be so bad. Once again, it's kick-ass school of growth.
Mm-hmm.
If people are sicker and sicker and sicker, people start questioning it, say, I've got to find some alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor is just, you know, saying a party line, I'm beginning to get that, you know, it's just restrictive maybe in my diet a bit. But if they're restricting my diet or if they're giving me drugs that have all these side effects, surely there's some way to avoid so much suffering. So it's not right.
So
people are starting to get it slowly.
Yes, I think so. So if we raise our fields in frequency, and as you said, expand it, you know, if you go into the subjective reality and you really work with the, for example, Fukushima is in me and the violence in me, and I work with that and so on, and I keep raising my fields and frequency, I can move out, not just me, I mean people, can move out of the traps of physical illnesses and so on, can't we? And
yes.
And can we move out of the reality of a Fukushima? Can we heal the Fukushima? Can you talk about that?
Yes, the healing is coming. First, the healing will happen with you as an individual. But you have to understand, after a while, there's enough of you individuals that, according to your belief system, is bound to affect the whole.
Now, we had a really interesting talk before you came on tonight. Ginger and I were discussing changing the weather and busting, cloud busting, but that it can be, one can work against the other if you have different people doing it and they're not in cahoots.
Right.
So whilst you're talking, I keep thinking of that and going, well, somehow we really need to find ways of connecting with each other consciously too, don't we?
That's true. And we need to have common intention. We need to come together in community with common intention, with common focus. As an individual, you can do a lot if you take responsibility for your for the weather and if you interact with your elements. If you learn how to interact with the elements, like the ancients used to do, you know, like, okay, the sun is shining. Is there a message for me today? You know, it's raining. It's a message for me today. It's cold. It's hot. It's windy. You know, there's a sense of connectedness, and most people just don't have that anymore. Only the people that like work outside, particularly farmers, could have it, you see, and could learn how to work with nature. And of course, there's this whole section of farming called biodynamic farming, which does work with nature, does work with the elements, and produces food, organic food of phenomenally high quality.
And that works with seasons and times as well as with all the
seasons and times,
all the elements.
It also has magic ritual involved.
I love that.
Magic ritual. Most people are just totally spooked because they've been brainwashed by the religious, you know, establishment. Right? So the science and the religion have divided culture, the culture up.
Just going into the religion part, what about the new pope? Do you think he's able to help us become more cohesive and more and less judgmental and more?
Oh, we think that the new pope is really great.
Good.
It's very interesting that according to prophecy, various prophecies, this pope would probably be the very last pope and the Catholic Church would end.
Wow, really?
Well, what's happening here is very much like 2012. Okay? In 2012, a lot of people said, the old reality is dying. The world will end. Right?
Yeah.
Until, of course, they got there. And then they realized that wasn't the situation at all.
No. or it didn't mean it quite that way, right?
No, no. What they realized is that it's the end of an old way. An end of an old era. And this Pope Francis is really doing a phenomenally good job of letting go of the old church.
Well, isn't he also dismantling some of the old monetary system, which was pretty patriarchal or very
He's doing a lot of stuff that that's kind of interfering with the established, you know, male chauvinistic, wealth-ridden order of things. Yeah, he's like asking bishops and priests and so forth to really, you know, take seriously that quote-unquote vow of poverty that they took on, you know, just to kind of balance out all the greed that priests and bishops and whatnot and cardinals have been into.
And it feels that because their reach is so huge that it seems very possible that it makes a big difference all over the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We sense this is a wave, a very positive wave that's going to create a lot of healing, a lot of shifting, a lot of changing, and a reorientation. And it might actually be enough to get people to come back to the church, because the church has been losing, you know, membership in droves.
But it's interesting, if you say it, the predictions are that it's the end of the Catholic Church. Maybe it'll morph into something more, you know, attuned to the elementals, attuned, you know what I mean? This might be...
Well, the original Catholic Church was very much like a pagan religion. It was just, you know, it just had some Jesus stuff in there, you know. And it was taken over by pagans and recreated and changed to disorient it from nature.
Right, so it was
changed the whole calendar, so that, because in the old days the months were and the zodiac signs were the same.
Oh.
And they shifted it so that they'd be 10 days off.
Really?
Right, so that nobody would, you know, it was just basically was taking, trying to take the authority or the resonance or the vibration of ancient metaphysics out of the way, so they could control what people did and said and thought and whatnot, so they could put their whole shame agenda on them.
Well, it seems like what we're talking about, or what you're helping us see more clearly, is that we're re-emerging.
Yes.
Through these different pressures, like Fukushima, through
yes,
the GMOs,
exactly.
Through the toxicity.
This is the way you're growing, and you're becoming more as who you are, and therefore you're gestalting yourself more.
And moving outside.
If you did magic rituals, if you did rituals of connection with nature, if you thanked the elements, if you started to connect with them, you could ask, I want more rain here. Or if it's too rainy, let's have a break. And you can work with nature. And you can see it inside yourself. For example, if it's too rainy, there's too much emotion. Clean up your own emotional stuff. And it'll clean up, it'll kind of reduce the rain. If it's a drought, which is like what you've got right now, you've got the big heavy drought in California, and the governor says extreme drought, and so on. You've got people who are not emotional enough. They're all thinkers. They're all up there in concept.
And they're all trying to be stars, or a lot of them are. You know, so that's a different
focus.
Yeah.
So all a whole bunch of ego facades going out there saying, this is what's true. No, this is what's true. This is what's right. You know, that's the essence of every conflict, isn't it? Is that there are two people that both of them want to prove or insist that they're right.
But what's
that's
interesting
what every
is...
argument kind of comes down to.
But what you're talking about, to me anyway, today is... You're saying what's right is that attunement.
Yes.
To all
it's
that
to work
is.
With, in the oneness, to work with all that's there.
Yeah. So
your reality loves you. It wants to support you. It wants to give you everything you want. Really.
Instead, we're bouncing around inside all these little identities.
Right, but if you have a small identity and you don't think you deserve it. If you have a small identity and you feel like you're a victim of big corporations, if you're into a lot of fear, which, of course, reduces and shrinks your energy field even further, it makes you feel more helpless and more powerless, how in the world are you going to be able to step into the new reality yourself personally, and how can you help the planet? You cannot. You're taking what's going on in the planet, and you're not using that as feedback for yourself to make yourself shift and change and grow and expand your gestalts, expand your perspectives, expand your awareness.
Now, one of my clients, so one of our listeners, sent a question. People are sort of concerned about the time factor. We understand what you're saying about, you know, subjective evolution and releasing all the baloney that we've accepted through the years and so on. But her question is, for example, will our children be able to have babies? Is the toxicity so severe that it's going to really cramp up the oncoming generations? Or is it going to be able to be changed?
There already is a lot of infertility.
Yes, there sure
and
is.
Some of this is actually chosen as part of this whole shift process. Okay. There's a positive and a negative to it. The positive to it is that there are going to be fewer people on the planet. The planet is a bit overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there were really good farming methods with integrity and love for the animals and not huge monocrops, but you know, beautiful organic crops and heritage seeds and all this thing, and working with nature and so on, if it's done correctly, you could have another billion people on the planet.
Hmm.
But right now you can't.
No.
Food is running out all over the place. Okay? And the GMO thing has really accelerated that. There's an acceleration actually going on this year right now anyway. This year is a year of a tremendous acceleration. It's the year of the horse. It's just galloping along. There's an acceleration of every negative, but there's also an acceleration of every positive.
Well, that gets me to, is it going to be accelerated that we move to the fifth dimension, and does that mean also the same, it's not the same food problems there, is it? Isn't it a totally different...
Well, no, moving to the fifth dimension doesn't mean that your body vibrates at fifth dimension. No, your body's still going to be on third dimension.
Oh, okay? I see, okay.
But what's happening here is that when your consciousness is on fifth dimension, then the solutions come.
Oh, I see. So are we more magical?
And
the
solutions come magically and in conjunction and in community and cooperation with others. Okay. Now, a lot of people see the Earth on a very devastating timetable. We're going down fast. There's going to be a point where nobody's going to be able to exist on the planet and so on.
Yes, yes.
Now, we want to point out that for some people, this is actually going to be true.
Okay.
Your choice is to choose the reality in which it is not true. This is what you can do as a person. You can make the choice. My future self is living in a world where solutions are being found and healing is happening.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But there are people who are just so excited about fear, they'll go down. Okay? But we want to emphasize that what it always looks like, and it's been looking like this actually for 20 years, is that the dark course and the light course are headed for some kind of grand collision and challenge point. Or is the dark course going to make it to that tipping point before the light? You see, that's what people are very afraid of.
What do you think?
No, the light is coming. The light is coming. The thing is that perspective comes from powerless attitudes.
Right.
And not accepting who you are. Mm. Not accepting, why are you here? Why do you incarnate yourself at this point in time? You incarnated yourself here specifically to participate in the shift. And what is the shift? The shift is the acknowledgement of the divine. The shift is the expansion of incredible creativity, allowing interaction with higher levels of consciousness to be able to expand your awareness so that you can see the oneness and be able to take that feedback, change within yourself, whatever it is that is sabotaging you, and see the healing and sending the healing out to the world and seeing it like ripples, the ripple effect from you. Okay? This is what you came for. And a lot of people are waiting and waiting for somebody else to do it. But you've got to do it yourself. If you don't do it this lifetime, fine. You'll just be one of the ones who go down. There's no judgment about that. You can always come back, have more lifetimes. You know, there's no limitation here.
Do we want to choose not to ever come back?
What's that?
Do we want to choose to not ever come back?
Some people are choosing that, and some of the first waivers will not return.
Okay.
Many of the first waivers will not return. The first waivers being the ones who are consciously, deliberately initiating and activating the great shift within themselves and so on. But you got to do the work sometime. You got to do the inner work and be able to use the reflection of your planet for yourself at some point. This is the first time, however, in a long, 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 long time that you can get feedback from the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
This is a global feedback, and you can imagine how much more powerful you must be to be born at a time where you can take feedback from all over, from Afghanistan, from Japan, you know, from Chile, and take all this feedback and, you know, and use it.
And the whole world is watching. We just had this big football game, as you know, and they called it the 12, you know, which is the audience. And the thing I loved about that is the oneness there, because I'm not at all into football, but the amount of community that little promotional thing created just made me think of oneness and, you know, promoting
it. That's right. Well, that's one of the things, the way the collective and the consensus culture keeps people in a particular place,
mm-hmm.
is they get them all excited with rivalry. You have to understand there is a oneness there, but it's split into us versus them.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't experience that here because I don't care about the football that much, but the number of people that were all unified, it was just really interesting.
Well, if you get all the fans of one side mm-hmm. in one room without any fans from the other side, there will be a sense of unity. And if you happen to be on the winning side, it's a very high experience.
Yeah.
And well, there's a sense of belonging that people have.
Yeah.
You know, the cities, the teams, they feel like they belong if they're going gung-ho for their team.
Yeah.
So it's a human need and so on, except it's, of course, manipulated by big corporate interests.
I know.
Again, you know, but the point that we're making here, though, is that if you can feel a little of that, and then you can say, okay, how can we create this worldwide?
That's exactly what I was trying to get to. I love that, yeah.
Right. How mm-hmm. can we create this with people who have other religious and philosophical orientations, other genetic strains, other cultures? How do we get everybody to get on the same side?
I think it comes through love. Oops, we have to end now.
Yes.
Don't you think it comes
love.
Through yes.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much.
If you can
much.
Love yourself, you expand yourself, then this love will work for your world.
Yeah, and that'll really nurture the new growth, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Wonderful. I thank you so much for being on
You're
with us again.
You're certainly welcome.
It's been a delight and very informative. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Our pleasure.
Thank you. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying that was Galexis talking to you about the reflections of the various huge stresses on our planet and how we can grow through them. We got to stay awake. Thank you so much for listening. And check my website, veronicaentwistle.com, for any feedback that you want to give us on this show or suggestions for future guests or just to say hello or ask for a session. Thank you very much. Many blessings and good night.